Creative Babble.
This episode contains strong language and depictions of illegal activities that's not suitable for young audiences.
Last time on Pretend Radio, we witnessed the birth of a con man. Eric Torres started his criminal career as a street thug and worked his way up to car insurance scam artist. Here's how it works. Eric stages car accidents, then the driver goes to his fake medical clinic and cashes out a $10,000 personal injury claim. He made a killing scamming thousands from car insurance companies.
So I was going out there, staging a few car accidents here and there, and staging a car accident with three people, making $1,500 here. Those people would refer other people. Those people would keep referring people. So I would look like a drug dealer. You know what I mean? Where people would call me, instead of drugs, they'll call me for an accident. You know, so they wanted to make a little money. They were short on rent. They didn't have no money.
Surprise, surprise. He got caught and was facing some serious jail time. He could have easily walked away without going to prison. All he had to do was rat out the guy who was running the fake medical clinic. I'm Javier Leyva, and this is Pretend Radio. Stories about real people pretending to be someone else. So why didn't he do it? I don't understand. Why didn't he just go and cooperate with the authorities and turn in the owner of the fake medical clinic?
I remember I went to jail and I ended up going to court. Prosecutor was like, hey, man, you don't want to talk on your guy. I said, no, I got nothing to talk to about this guy. You want to go to jail, but you want to stay in good terms with people because when you come back, you need them.
So who is this guy anyway? The owner of the clinic. Well, his name is Dixon Barcelo Castro.
I did my time. I got out. When I got out, you know, this same guy that I took the blame for, you know, I had called him before I went to jail. I told him, hey, man, you know, I just want to let you know that you could count on me. You know, I know you got a family. I know you got kids. But I want you to know that, don't worry, you could count on me. I'm going to do what I got to do. And, you know, I just want you to take care of me when I get out. So, which he did. When I was in prison, he used to give me about $8,000 to $10,000 every month, trying to compensate me for the time that I lost. So,
$8,000 to $10,000 a month?
Yeah, about $8,000 to $10,000 a month.
Damn.
So, I got out. I had, you know, a good piece of chunk of money. And I tell him, hey, man, you know, I appreciate what you did, but, you know, what I did for you doesn't really have a price tag, you know? So what are we going to do now? So I had about $200,000 in cash. I went and bought a car. You know, I went and got me some clothes. I got an apartment. I got all settled up and ready and stuff.
The moment Eric set foot outside of prison, Dixon Barcelo already had a job lined up for him. You see, while Eric was doing jail time, covering for him, Dixon was operating another medical clinic.
He was operating a pain management clinic, you know, when I got out. And he tells me, hey, man, look, you know, buy this MRI from me. And I want you to start making some money. So I was like, well, how much you want? And, you know, he was like, oh, I want 60,000 bucks. So I said, all right, great. You know, how much am I going to make? He says, look, I guarantee you're going to make at least $2,000 to $3,000 a day. I was like, all right, perfect. Here's your 60 grand. So I gave him the 60,000. I bought the machine. I ended up putting the machine, left in the machine there in his property. And I was making exactly what he was saying, about $2,000 to $3,000 bucks every day.
Why did he want you to buy it? I mean, why couldn't he have done this himself?
Because he just wanted to look out for me. He knew that what I did was very hardcore, you know? He says, man, what this guy did for me, you know, he was able to stay out here and raise his kids.
So Dixon, you know, the guy that ran the car insurance scam, is now in the pain management business. Okay, I'll bite. Pain management is a branch of medicine that specializes in, you know, easing the quality of life for those suffering with chronic pain.
This new pain management thing that he got onto was that, you know, 80% of patients have a problem in their lower back, whether it's a disc, whether it's, you know, it's a herniation, whether it's a bulging disc, whether it's a pinched nerve, you know, there's always going to be something wrong with the back. So, you know, it's kind of irrelevant because, I mean, everybody has some type of deterioration on your, you know, your L5, your L7s way down in your spine. So,
okay, let's cut the crap. This can't possibly be a legitimate pain management clinic. It's safe to assume that this new business venture of his is shady as hell. This pain management clinic is a way to sell and distribute oxycodone in the black market.
Well, the reason why you want to have the clinic is you need somebody to write you the prescription. So the doctor is going to write the patient the prescription for, let's say, 200 pills of oxycodone. So the doctor writes a prescription, 200 pills of oxycodone. He pays $300 for the doctor. He pays me $300 for the MRI. He pays $200 to get 200 pills. So the patient has invested $800. When he sells 200 pills at $20, he made $4,000. So out of the $4,000, you take away $800, the patient's left over with $3,200. Now, you could do it every month because you need to go back and get your refills. So now you're making $3,200 a month just going to the doctor to take a visit. You know what I mean? When you think about it, it's how long would it take a normal person to work, you know, how many hours a week to make $3,200? And this guy is just going once a month, selling his prescriptions and making $3,200. You know what I mean? It becomes a hell of a business.
The drug maker Purdue Pharma released OxyContin in 1996. It promised that a single dose relieves pain for up to 12 hours. You can finally sleep through the night without waking up to take medication. But here's the deal. The drug never really lived up to expectations. And it turns out it's extremely addictive.
Look, oxycodone is a synthetic heroin, right? It's, you buy heroin on the street, you don't know what you're buying. The heroin can be cut. Nowadays, it has fentanyl. It'll kill you. So they know exactly what they're getting. It gives them the same amount, the same high as if they were doing, you know, real heroin. So, you know, they buy it, the pill. It's cheaper. They get a better use of the drug. And it gives them a better high because it's clean. It's a clean drug.
So they're not going there for back. Like, these guys know what they're doing. Like, the patients know exactly what they're doing.
Right, exactly. They know exactly what they're doing. They're out there. They're using the black market to sell these pills on the street to addicts. You know?
They're not even using the pills for themselves.
No, they're just using it. They're going in there to make the money. And they got a local dealer. Once they get their pills, they got a local dealer that buys the pills off of them.
Wait, I still don't get it. So the patient walks into the fake clinic, pays $800 for their service and pills, then sells it back in the black market for $3,200. What's in it for Eric and Dixon? $800 just doesn't seem like a whole lot of money. Oh, there's a twist.
Now, if I start adding, taking people and paying for them and saying, hey, man, look, you don't got the money to invest in the doctor and the MRI, $800, guess what? I'll pay for you. I'll pay the $800 and I'll give you $1,000. So now out of $4,000, I got $3,200. I gave him $1,000. I keep $2,200. If I took five people in a week, once a month, I made $10,000. You can't beat that because it is a high commodity. It is high on demand. The drug sells on its own. You know what I mean? The streets know that. The politicians know that. The manufacturers know that. It's a business all the way around.
A deadly business. Right now, drug overdoses are the leading cause of death among Americans 50 years and under. Opiates kill an average of 43 people a day. It's a huge problem. But for Eric and his goons, it's just another day's work. Business started slowing down. It may have something to do with the DEA and the federal prosecutors cracking down on Mallinckrodt Pharmaceuticals, one of the nation's largest manufacturers of oxycodone. More than 500 million of its pills ended up in Florida between 2008 and 2012. The DEA says that the company ignored its responsibilities to report suspicious orders.
It lasted about 2 years, and the business started dying out, right? And by that time, I had made very good money. And I remember I had a guy up in Georgia. He called me, and he told me, hey, man, I need to get the copy of MRIs of patients. So this guy starts taking patients towards Georgia. So I was like, all right, sure, I'll send you the copy. So I see that he starts calling over and over and over again. I'm like, wow, man, this guy, he must be making a lot of money. I spoke to the guy on the phone. The guy tells me, man, you should come up here. You should set up your own medical facility. You'll be making a killing. The guys down in Florida, they haven't caught on to this. Why don't you come up here? I said, sure, no problem, man. I'll go up there. And I went out there, checked it out. The guy had a huge office filled up. So I went online and I put a few ads on Craigslist looking for a doctor that was willing to do pain management. And I ended up, you know, catching one. You know, I got a doctor. I met with the doctor. The doctor was a cool guy, man. He said, yeah, man, the doctor straight up tells me, hey, man, yeah, I know what's going on, man. I want to make some money too.
Don't doctors make enough money? I mean,
you know what? The medical industry has changed so much that they stopped making money. They're not making the same amount of money that they used to. Nowadays, you got physician assistants that are making the money that doctors are making. The patients that I was dealing down there in Florida, called them and I told them, hey, man, look, I just opened up my own facility out here in Georgia. Why don't you come up here? And they were like, sure, man, we're on our way. And I mean, that was pretty much it. You know, the clinic started making good money. It started rolling and I ended up closing the clinic down. After the year, the doctor fled. He took off. And
why did he take off?
I don't know. I guess he made enough money and he was kind of worried and he just left. So make a long story short, the doctor left and I closed down the clinic and that's about it. A few years went by. I started living my life. I got married. I had kids.
Eric walks away. 4 years go by and things are finally starting to settle down. He has a family, housekeepers, a yacht, tons of money. Life is good. Well, life was good until he called his former office manager.
I had this guy that used to operate the business for me on a day-to-day basis. This guy went and I called him. You know, you got something to do. And I kind of heard the guy with a suspicious tone of voice. I was like, man, this guy's acting real weird. You know, what's up with this guy? And he was like, yeah, yeah. He's like, man, what are you calling me for? And I was like, what do you mean? What am I calling you for? You know, me and you never ended up in bad terms. So he was like, yeah, what are you calling me for? You're acting real weird. And I was like, man, you're acting real weird. You know what I mean? So he's like, look, man, I can't talk to you right now. I'll call you back from another phone. So he ended up calling me from another phone. And he called me and he acted real weird. He said, hey, man, he goes, what, you know, the doctor went to jail, right? And I was like, the doctor went to jail. I was like, no, I didn't know that. Why would he go to jail? He said, yeah, man. What are you trying to do, man? You're trying to set me up. You know, what are you trying to do? You're trying to make me operate a phony clinic. And I was like, man, you're crazy. I called the lawyer. I called my lawyer the next day and I was, you know, kind of freaking out. I called my lawyer and I tell him, hey, man, look, I think I got a little problem. You know what I mean? He says, oh, okay. He says, what happened? I said, no, well, look, I talked to this guy. He said, the doctor went to jail. I'm pretty sure that if the doctor went to jail, they're going to probably be looking for me as well. So he called over there and exactly what it was, the prosecutor was ready to indict me on a couple federal charges for money laundering and conspiracy to traffic and... And I was like, oh, shit, man, you know, last thing I wanted was this. But, you know, we went up there. We spoke to the prosecutor and I told him, man, listen, man, you know, this shit happened almost 4 years ago. You know what I mean? You know, I wasn't, you know, thinking this was going to happen so many, you know, at this time in life. And they were like, yeah, I remember my lawyer was like, you're going to have to do 10 years. You got to start going and do your 10-year time. That's what the prosecutors want. And I said, shit, man, you know, I kind of got fed up, I got to a point where I'm just fed up, because I'm just like, man, you know, you can't do nothing out here, man. There's no winning. There's no winning these people. We spoke to the prosecutor about what had happened, this and that. And I told him, man, you know, it is what it is. You know, yeah, we were doing this. We were operating the clinic, and we kind of knew. We kind of knew we were doing it for a wrong reason. You know, we weren't really doing it for any medical right reasons. So,
remorse. That's what I was hoping to hear this whole time. The reason why I haven't spoken to Eric all these years is because he is a bad guy, whether he wants to believe it or not. I wanted to know, does he feel bad about the things he's done? I think part of him does. But in the end, I think he really feels like he's the victim in this whole thing. But what bothers me the most is that he's a smart guy, a real entrepreneur. Can you imagine if he took his con artist instincts and applied it to a legitimate business? I mean, the guy would be insanely successful. And that's what he's doing now. He's working for what he says is a legitimate nutritional supplement company. We've spoken many nights about his plans and the company and how he plans to grow it. It all sounds legit. Finally, his energy is focused in the right direction. As for his legal troubles, Eric is awaiting sentencing. And what about the owner of the clinic, Dixon Barcelo Castro? Dixon and his brother were both indicted on charges of conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud. Authorities say Dixon operated 4 different medical clinics around the state of Florida and scammed millions away from Medicare. As soon as they issued a warrant for their arrest, the Barcelo brothers were gone. They disappeared.
Right now, as we speak, he's running from the FBI. He's been on the run probably about 4 years. And I never heard from him since.
Like out of the country, maybe?
He might be out of the country, probably in Mexico.
Eric's future is yet unwritten. He may spend the next 10 years in prison. Will he go back to being a con artist? Or will he change? Who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see. Hi everyone, this is Javier. I just wanted to pop in and give you an update on the show. I'm gonna take a couple weeks off. Not because I need the break, but because I have so many great stories that I just don't have enough time to edit. I always get so jealous of when I listen to podcasts and they have credits at the end. I wish I had credits. Unfortunately, it's just me. I could only work so fast. But really amazing stories. Can't wait to share it with you. In the meantime, go to pretendradio.org and sign up for the mailing list. That way I can let you know when we're back. And please tell your friends. This is an awesome, awesome, awesome project. People keep telling me how much they love it. I've personally never felt so creatively fulfilled. Okay, so I'm going to take a short break and then I'll be back, and it's going to be amazing. Can't wait to tell you what we got in store. Take care, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Creative Babble.